How we doing today, Bill?
Glenn, okay. Mike, Steve?
Coach, how are you?
Doing good.
Nice
doing good.
Win and pretty dominant in all facets. Do you have any negatives here today from that one?
No, the players did a great job, and you know, it's good to win, good to move on, good to be in AFC Championship. So, big test this week, and you know, time to turn the page.
No negatives? You didn't have any film session with them and said, okay, we've got to do this better, that better?
Oh, yeah, there's always things we can work on, of course.
I was going to say, well, no negatives. They probably walked out of the meeting saying, look, that's great.
It's a trap.
It's good to move on. Good to be in the AFC Championship game. So we did a lot of things right. And there's always things we can do better, of course.
Vince was talking here in the last hour about a great week or 2 weeks of practice. What did you do that first week in trying to clean some stuff up?
Yeah, just that. You know, work on things that we felt like we need to work on. And regardless of who we played, just from an execution standpoint, some technique things. So players worked hard. We had a good week. And then when we found out who we were playing, then we were able to take some of that and transfer it over into our preparations for the Broncos.
When the did the way you played defensively, at least the Broncos in the final three quarters of the first time you played them, that give you confidence defensively going into this this game this past weekend?
You know, I think we're always confident. I mean, we think we can win. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know what else to tell you. Yeah. I mean, we go into the game, we think we can win. So, I think that's what confidence is. But, you know, I think we had, you know, the players had a good understanding after playing them the first time of, you know, some of the things that they did offensively with their option game and you know, Tebow's movement ability and those kind of things. And so I think we played them better the second time around, sure.
Did they do anything differently the second time here?
Yeah, they dressed it up a little bit. Yeah, they had a few wrinkles, and they definitely dressed it up. You know, it was the same basic things, but, you know, they had a couple different looks on them, and I think our players reacted, you know, well to them. We got a lot of contributions from really everybody, you know, all the guys on the defensive line, the linebackers, secondary. We played a lot of base defense. We didn't play a lot of substituted defense, but, you know, the guys that played, you know, they did a good job.
Now, you've seen this team. You know, you saw them in 2009 in the playoffs. You saw them in 2010 regular season. They've got the same personnel, but they've had some coaching changes, especially with their defensive coordinator. Are they essentially doing the same things that they've been doing the last couple of years, or do you see some major differences with the Ravens?
I wouldn't say major, but they've modified them some things, sure, no question. And they've got, you know, they've got good players, and some of those guys have been there for a long time, and some of them are not so long. But, you know, they have a good, solid team in all three phases. They're very well coached. They're disciplined. They play good technique. You know, you got to go out there and earn it. So that's what time of year we're at anyway. We expect that. I mean, every team you play now is good, and of course the Ravens are a good football team.
It was funny. We were talking with Vince before you got here, and he said Ed Reed used to make the plays that he's making now, used to make them in practice at Miami. And he said, I didn't see him play in high school, but I was told that he was making those kind of plays in high school too. What do you see from Reed that separates him from the pack? I saw in Football Life you called him, you told him, hey, you're the best free safety that's played this game. What makes him so great, in your opinion?
Well, he's got great instincts. It's like he has a magnetic he's a magnet to the ball. I mean, his guy might be open, but they're not throwing it to him. And when they're throwing it to his guy, he's right there where he should be, just like he was on the interception against Houston at the end of the game. But then there are other plays where the quarterback's thrown to either side of the field, and he's 20 yards away from his guy, but he's close to the ball. So he's got great vision and anticipation. He's very fast. He's got good quickness. But I'd say the big thing with him is his instincts. He has a great understanding of what's happening on the play, where the ball's going, who's threatening, and he's almost always in great position. And usually getting there before the play has totally unfolded. You know, as it's developing, that's when he figures it out, and he's already started to make his move toward the point of attack.
So how do you deal with him? You've got to know where he is at all times.
You better.
Can't keep the ball away from him because, as you just said, he's so instinctive. He's always there at the play. How do you play him, Bill?
Yeah. You got to be careful with him. I mean, you got to know where he's at because he's going to be by the ball. You better make sure that you can get the ball to, if you're throwing it, you better make sure you can get it there before he does. and he's a good blitzer. He's sometimes close to the line of scrimmage, and he can come and get there in a hurry, and he can fake the blitz and get back into coverage and be a factor back there too. So he's very good at disguising. He's very deceptive. But his anticipation, his instincts are, I'd say second to none at that position, and very comparable to Ray Lewis as a middle linebacker, who also has great awareness and instinctiveness. Just again, like in the Houston game, the Texans are driving, they're going for the tie and score, and he sniffs out the screen pass, and now it's second and 17, and that really, along with Reed's interception, and those two plays basically ended the Texans' threat to score. So. Those are the kind of plays they make, and you gotta be careful, or they can stop it on their own just because they have such great instinct and playmaking ability.
Is this Ravens defense as good as teams we've seen in previous years?
Well, they're pretty good. Statistically, they're right at the top of the league in just about everything, and they've been there for a long time. Certainly, the rushing stats are. As good as anybody's in the league. So, but they do what they need to do to win, and that's the bottom line. They win a lot of games, and another 12 wins this year. It's no accident.
I want to go back to Ray Lewis for a second. You gave the Cleveland Browns a nice little present. You had traded out of the 1995 draft and into the next year, and that pick became Ray Lewis. You wound up talking to him before that draft. What did you think of him then, and is he pretty much? I mean, is he doing now what you thought he would do? I mean, 16 years later, did you think that when you were talking to this guy that he had this type of ability, Hall of Fame ability?
I'm not sure about that, but I spent a full day with him down there at Miami, and of course I was with the Patriots that year in '96, and it was a great day. Spent a lot of time with Ray and watching film and. Just going over things, and he's just as intense in the film room as he is out on the football field. He's totally into it. Very bright, alert, smart guy. Picks up a lot of little things quickly. Knows exactly not only what he's doing, but what everybody around him is doing. The entire defense, and also knows what the offense is doing too, based on the formations or different keys that he's getting. He talks very easily about and quickly on. Here's what I see. This is why I'm doing this. I can see what this guy's doing. I can see the split, the depth of the back, where a quarterback's looking, all those kind of things. And he certainly understands what all his teammates should be doing on that particular call. So he's plays with great confidence, and that enables him to play fast and play aggressively. Similar to some conversations that I've had with other guys like that, one meeting and spend 4 or 5 hours with a guy, and you come away with, sometimes, over-the-top type impressions, and that's certainly the way it was with Ray down there at Miami in 96.
How important is it to stop Ray Rice, Vonta Leach, the guy who really sets him up with, giving him that protection up front and blocking? How important is it? Because they just seem to move the ball down the field, and obviously you've got an offense that you want to give the football to.
Yeah, well, of course, and that's what the defense is out there for, is to stop them, but they can run it. They can throw it. They've gotten good production from their tight ends, their receivers. Smith down the field, Bolden, can make big plays. And, of course, Rice is their leading receiver. So it's no one-man show. They've got a very good offensive line, experienced line with, the two tackles there, McKinney and Orr, and of course, Yanda and Burke and Grubbs inside. So they're a very experienced group. They got a lot of playmakers and Rice is a key guy, no question about it, but the other guys can beat you too.
Your defense seemed to be a little more swarming more guys around the ball this past week than I'd seen most of the season. Was that a point of emphasis in practice this week, getting a lot of guys to the football, especially with that offense that Denver was running?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's always a big point of the defense is to, gang tackle and cut down running lanes, get as many people there as possible.
More important this week?
It's important every week.
Yeah.
I mean, you never want to not have a lot of guys around the ball. So,
yep. But
our players did a good job of playing with good technique. We had some multiple guys times making tackles. Some other times we had one guy free and he made the play. So, but overall it comes down to team defense. The defenders doing their job in the passing game. The rushers doing their job on the quarterback in the pass rush. And playing, setting the edge outside in the perimeter of the running game, playing with good technique inside, and doing a good job tackling. So, you know, you need 11 guys to do it. I mean, you just can't stop an offense of one or two guys in this league. You got to have everybody playing good team defense, and we had that Saturday night.
Was that the best? I'm sorry. Was that the best 60 minutes? You know, you always talk about 60 minutes of football. Was that what you're looking for last week?
I thought we played a pretty solid game Saturday night,
yep.
But. You know, I know every week in the playoffs, the next game you play, you're playing against a better team because they've won and they've moved on like you have. So we know it'll be great competition Sunday against the Ravens, and we'll have to be at our absolute best, and we'll try to move that up from last night, from Saturday night.
Bill, I'm sure when you put those headphones on at the start of the game, there are 100 different things going through your mind at breakneck speed. Do you get the sense, do you have any idea when Tom Brady is on his way to 6 touchdown passes. Are you thinking about, do you have a sense of that during the game, or is that all after the game? You say, wow, I knew he had a good game, but I didn't know it was NFL record-setting good.
Well, you know, offensively, we got off to a good start. You know, defensively, we had the turnover, and then we go up 14-0, and then we get the ball back, and they intercept it, and then they punch it in for a score. So now it's 14-7 game at the end of the first quarter. So, you know, that was pretty competitive. We were able to, you know, to make it 21-7. And then, you know, I just thought the game kind of broke open there at the end of the second quarter where we scored, and then we had a good stop on defense and then a good punt return. We had the ball and plus side of the 50 and, you know, looking to get a field goal there. And with 10 seconds to go, Julian got out of bounds, and we were able to run one more play and hit Gronkowski down the middle for a touchdown. So, you know, that was a big swing, and you know, you never really could go into a game saying, well, we're going to get 14 points in 2 minutes without a turnover. You know, sometimes it just happens that way, but it's hard to count on that. So, you know, again, it's good when you play a good team, you know, play a good team, complimentary game like that, good defense, quick turnover, quick change of possession, offense take advantage of the good field position, pump it in there. I mean, you know, some good things are going to happen, whether that's bunch of touchdown passes or a bunch of touchdown runs or whatever, but you know, as long as they're points, that's really all we care about, and it's good to get those points, of course.
You've had great production with the two tight ends out there, and I'm wondering, as time goes on, does it allow you to do some different things because of the way the defense is playing those two guys right now?
Well, on every play, you have to wait and see how they're going to play them. I mean, nobody plays them the same way every snap, time after time. You know, you see the way that the team plays it against a certain formation. Sometimes they're, you know, on the same side. Sometimes they're on opposite sides. Sometimes they're close together. Sometimes they're far apart. Sometimes one of them's in the backfield. So, you know, there's not one thing you can do because they're not always in the same place, and neither is everybody else. So. It's part of what our offense is about, is giving different looks, having different combinations, and of course the key to it is, you know, Tom recognizing it and making good decisions, getting the ball to, you know, to the guys that are open, whether that's Deion Branch down the sideline or Gronkowski down the middle or Hernandez on a crossing pattern or, you know, whatever it is. And that's, we don't know how it's going to turn out, so we have to wait and see how the defense covers the play that we have called, and then you know, hope that we can execute it against that look.
Go ahead, Michael.
I was wondering on Saturday down here, it was cold, not as cold as that Titans game in 2003. I think the official temperature was 4. The wind chill was ridiculous though that day. When you have cold weather but no snow, do you make any mention of that to the team, or is it just, hey, we're in New England, it's going to be cold, just be ready to play? How do you prepare for that, if at all, with the team?
Oh, well, I think the preparation comes through the year. I mean, we've had over 100 practices, and we've had some cold ones, we've had some hot ones, we've had some windy ones, we've had some, you know, some sunny ones. We've had a lot of different ones, and those situations come up from time to time in practice. Cold, wet field, you know, snowy field, dry, all those things. So, you know, as they come up, we talk about those in practice, not knowing exactly when it'll happen again, but it probably will over the course of the season. And so, you know, again, we talk about those things as they, you know, occur on a weekly basis. We have cold practices in November, cold practices in December, and, you know, we talk about that in terms of ball handling and, you know, how it affects the kicking game, how it affects the passing game, and so forth. So, and then we remind them of it, of course, right before the game, depending on what the actual situation is. We meet with the team the day of the game, or we're in the locker room before the game, and we talk about whatever the conditions are, snow, rain, wind, cold, sun, you know, all those kind of things. We remind them of that, but we've experienced them through the course of the season, believe me. It's not always 80 degrees out there in practice, right. And then it turns to, you know, -5 in a game.
So how do you pick and choose between being in the bubble and being outside? I mean, is it just...
Well, for the most part, we're outside. Yeah, for the most part, we're outside, and we've had, you know, a number of practices in the stadium which, you know, simulate the true wind and sun conditions, and so that, you know, that's beneficial as well. You know, at times we go in the bubble when, particularly if we feel like that particular practice is going to be on a day that's not going to be, it's going to be dissimilar to what we're going to be playing in. I mean, we go in the bubble on Thursday, with rough conditions outside, and the forecast is it's not going to be that way on Sunday, then, you know, we'll probably get better execution in the bubble because those conditions will be closer to what we're practicing in. But if it's cold and then we don't turn the heat on in the bubble and we deal with the cold.
Would the style of play of another offense, whether it's a ball control offense or a quick score offense, would that dictate some of your play calling offensively? I don't know, maybe matching them score for score, maybe holding on to the ball longer. Is there anything that you look at in terms of the other team's offense as to how you might game plan your offense?
Probably not early in the game, no. I think we go into the game trying to run the plays that we feel will be most successful and that we can score. I mean, that's the idea. It's the only reason the offense is on the field is to put points on the board. So whatever that is, we do. Then as the game goes along, sometimes conditions will affect that, either time at the end of the half or maybe, as you say, the way the game's going, depending on the, you know, what the specific circumstances are. We might want to, you know, do things a little bit differently, or sometimes at the end of the second quarter, not the end, but, you know, that 4, 5, 6 minutes to go range when you only have a couple possessions, one or maybe two left, you might want to do it a little bit differently to try to get that last possession, you know, one where they either slow it down or speed it up to kind of, you know, play for the last shot, if you will. So I think sometimes that can play into it. But to start the game, we always expect a tough competitive game, and we go out there with our best stuff, and then as the game unfolds and we get into the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter, then a lot of times you're playing a situation game. You're ahead or you're behind. Whatever the win conditions are, whatever the timeout game score conditions are, those situations, then that affects your play calling and strategy. So when you get to that point, then that overrides it. But until you get to, you know, pretty well through the game, that I think you're still doing what you think you can do. Of course, after a couple series, one way or the other, then you have more information about your future play calling than you do right off the bat. You know, you're going in the game calling certain plays based on what you think are the best things to do, but once you actually get into the game, it may or may not change.
Joe Flacco had some early success. He's been inconsistent from time to time. Where do you think his game has gotten better?
Well, I think that they're a good football team, and they can do everything well. They can run it. They can play action. They can throw it possession passes and pick up third downs. They can throw it deep. And I'm not really as concerned about what any player or team's done against somebody else. It's really how they match up against us, so it doesn't really matter, you know, what he did or didn't do against somebody else. We'll look at it and try to help our preparations with it, but in the end it'll come down to how we match up against them on Sunday, not how they match up against somebody else or how we match up against somebody else. We'll have to figure out what we can do against them and vice versa.
Given the fact that your offense took the ball and scored within, what, less than 2 minutes, would that make you revisit the idea of deferring to the second half?
Well, we lost the toss in the Denver game. Denver won the toss, and they took the ball, and Rob got him on the strip sack, and then we got the ball back. So, we don't always have the decision at the start of the game. If we do, then we'll do what we feel like is best for our team for that particular game, and we make that decision every week based on the factors we have going into the game.
Question of the week is?
All right. I just wanted to make sure you guys are ready for the question of the week.
Always ready.
You always ready? Okay, this is a long one. Get ready for this one. Time now for the coach's question of the week, brought to you by Lexus of Watertown. This week's question comes from Mark Korokowitz of Salem, New Hampshire. Mark asks, when a player plays another position, such as Aaron Hernandez taking handoffs as a running back, Julian Edelman playing defense, or in the past, Mike Vrabel lining up as a tight end, How does that generally come about? Does the player volunteer to do more to contribute and get on the field, or does the idea come from the coaching staff, or does it come strictly out of necessity? And then he ends it by saying, good luck on Sunday.
Thanks. Well, Mark, I think it can be a combination of different things. Sometimes necessity could be it. Sometimes it's just trying to, utilize your players and put them in productive spots. But in the professional football, we only have so many guys on your roster. You can't have a backup at every spot, so somebody has to double up. And for a position like tight end, like what Vrabel did, when you only have a couple tight ends on your roster, you usually need somebody else to help you with depth at that position, whether it's an offensive lineman or a fullback or a bigger receiver or a defensive player, whether that player plays fullback like Seymour and Dane Fletcher and some of those guys did, Brian Cox, Seau, or whether they play tight end like Vrabel did. Sometimes you can find guys on the defensive side of the ball that fit that size and skill set. So, we just try to utilize players and that can do the jobs that they're asked to do. And if that's a defensive player playing offense, or it could be an offensive player playing defense, then we work with it and see how it goes. And if it's going well, then we'll build on it. If it doesn't, then we file it away and try to find another option.
Hey, the commissioner was in Baltimore talking to some fans, apparently, over the weekend. And he said that the league is actually talking about next year hiring at least one official out of each crew to be a full-time official. Good idea?
Glenn, really, I'm just worried about getting ready for the Ravens. I don't know that much about running the league or running an officiating department. I'm sure that we got a lot of people in the National Football League and a lot of experienced officials who have done that job for many years that would know a lot more about it than I would. So I don't really know.
Yeah, Michael and I were trying to wonder why earlier they wouldn't do the whole crew, why it would only be one guy. But whether that's
I'm sure there's got to be some great thinking on that. So but I just don't know what it is.
Maybe a lack thereof, but that was my commentary. Congrats.
Well, for being selected, you got to satisfy the sponsors here, Glenn. For being selective, Mark wins a $100 gift certificate to Sports Authority. The Coach's Question of the Week is presented by Lexus of Watertown. Lexus of Watertown inviting you to a new level of excellence. 1-800-GO-LEXUS. Submit your question for the coach at weei.com/coach. Weekly winners will receive that $100 gift certificate to Sports Authority. Enter at weei.com/coach for your chance to win.
Bill, great win. Good luck on Sunday. We'll see you back here on Monday.
Okay, thanks, great. Thank you.
Bill Belichick right here on The Big Show.